to fellowship with me. And I told him when I got there, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't want you to be here. And they said, you know, but it doesn't matter. You know, because what you want and what you need are not the same thing, and you need us to be here, so we're going to be here, you know, regardless of what you want. So they came and they prayed with me, and we, you know, read the Bible, and we talked about what's happened. They edified me, and they were building me up. But when they were gone, there was nothing. You know, my husband didn't know what to do for me, and I couldn't talk to him because I really can't talk to him that much about the Lord. You know, his walk with the Lord is more private right now, and is very much between him and the Lord. And I don't have much in it other than my example. And say my example wasn't being very good at that time, and but he was so tender to me, and so gentle and so patient and so full of faith that only the Lord can give somebody who isn't reading his word and who, you know, doesn't appear to be seeking him diligently. And that's the way that it seemed to me, but I've given all those things to the Lord, so who knows what's going on in my husband. But he came and he had a lot of faith. By this time, I'm almost 3 months overdue. And my husband said to me one day, he said, "You noticed that since you've stopped fellowshipping, you know, that you've been pretty sick?" And just as soon as he started talking, I didn't want to hear any of it. And then he said, "You know, and I'd like you also to notice that every single time you being sick as an excuse to not go fellowship, you get worse." And it was then that I had noticed that as in times before, the Lord had, you know, spoken to me through my husband, because I wasn't listening to my husband. I wasn't praying. I wasn't listening to him. I wasn't reading. I wasn't holding. I was just sleeping. I wanted it to all be over so I could stop fighting, because I was so tired. And, he was right. And I said, "You know, stop talking to me." And he said, "No, you know, I'm not going to stop talking to you." And I knew he was right. And the conviction came to me, a little strong in me. And all of a sudden, I got the strength in me, and I got up, and I got dressed, and I drove to my mom's house. On the way to my mom's house, it had been so long, but on the way to my mom's house, the Lord spoke to me. And I hadn't heard him speak to me in a while. And he said to me, "Be it done unto you according to your faith. This is what's been going on with you and Dan," with my brother. And all of a sudden, like, understanding came into my head. I mean, just like I don't know how to explain it, all of a sudden I had understanding about all the things that I had been going through, and in comparison and relating to what my brother was going through too. And the Lord had showed me, and not in words, but in what was happening, that whatsoever you're having faith in, that's what will happen to you. And he showed me things like, you know, whatsoever the wicked fear, that's what will come upon them, you know, but you know, whatsoever the righteous desire, you know, that's what they get. And, you know, he had showed me that in my doubt of him, it was wickedness, it was sin. And I was having a hard time overcoming, although I did believe him, but not at all times. You know, there were times when I would listen to the enemy and I would become afraid of what he was saying to me, and I would have a hard time, you know, battling him, and I wasn't having the baby, because the Lord was trying to show me, and my brother wasn't getting his job because the Lord was trying to show him that it is about believing and not doubting. And I had thought that in the Bible, that when it says, you know, when you ask the Lord for anything, you know, don't doubt, because a double-minded man shouldn't expect anything from the Lord. And for some reason, I thought that this verse was talking about people who didn't believe. I thought that, you know, I thought it was talking about people who say that they believe but don't. But he showed me that we are talking to some beliefs there who are learning to believe. And I was doing exactly what the Bible had said. I had been double-minded, and I didn't expect anything from the Lord anymore. I didn't expect anything in this situation, this particular circumstance, from him because I had been double-minded. Many times I had come in here to the Unleavened Bread Bible study, and I had asked a prayer. One time I even called David, you know, and told him what was going on. I just was so distraught, you know, when he prayed that my double-mindedness be lifted off of me, my double-mindedness and stuff. And even in his prayer, I had a difficult time standing there because I was 12 months pregnant, and I was, you know, not being a baby, and everything was coming at me from every direction. And I just wanted to see one thing. I wanted to see the baby. And I was seeing everything else but that. And I was losing my step. And I forgot the Lord is in control of all this. And so after the Lord just spoke to me when I was in the car, and he said to me, you know, that it was what I had been having faith in. I had been having faith for the last 3 months or so, as well as the whole first 9 months, that the possibilities are sometimes greater than the truth. And they made me afraid more than the fear that I had of the Lord in some cases. And I was really excited because as soon as he opened my eyes to this, I was full of the Spirit. I was full of them. I was filled right there in the car, and when I got to my mom's house, I was so excited. I shared with them, and they were very excited. And then I found out that my mom had been having a hard time with this too. And she had said to me that many times the Lord had told her that my sister was pregnant physically and that I was pregnant spiritually. And you could see that I was very much pregnant physically, but I hadn't had the baby, and so I suppose my mind tried to make sense of it. And I said to her, "You know what, Mom? You know, I know that he told you that, but I didn't accept it the way that you think it is. You know, because he told me that I was having a baby. And he has given me many, many signs along the way in my doubt, in my fear, and has comforted me and has cuddled me like a little infant, you know, that I might learn these things and become grown in what he is trying to teach me." And so I stood in faith in that. And she's like, "Okay," you know, and she stood with me. I don't know if she's in here tonight. I can't go down the list right now, but I think she might be in here tonight listening too. But there was something that I missed in my testimony that I want to go back and tell you. I had asked the Lord if the baby was sick, if there was something wrong with it, and he told me yes. And I had gone home, and I had talked to my husband, like I said, and I told him. But I still had a problem with faith and believing that, because I had confessed this to my husband, that the baby was fine. So I had asked my husband to lay his hands on my stomach in his forgiveness of me and to pray for a blessing over the baby that he would be healthy. And, well, my husband was not up for that. He was not prepared to do that in faith. And I'm pretty sure that's why he said no to me, because it's an awkward thing for him still, and I don't think that he would mean much. I don't think that he thinks it would mean too much if he didn't really believe, you know, that he would get what he asked for. And that kind of discouraged me, but I decided to go to the Lord myself. And I asked the Lord, you know, if he would, you know, bless the prayer that I was about to ask him for, and if it'll be okay for me to just lay my hands on my own tummy and you know, pray that the spirit of health and life come into the little one, you know, because it wasn't his then and it was mine, and I had confessed, and I wanted more to stand on, that my faith would be bigger. You know, it didn't feel like enough to me what I already had. So I put my hands on my tummy and I prayed, and then I asked the Lord to confirm that it was done. I opened up the Bible and I put my finger down on the place. I can't tell you what chapter or verse it is, but it's in John, and it said, when a woman is in travail, she has sorrow, but when the time comes, you know, she gives birth to a son and has joy that a man is born into the world. You know, Jesus was talking about the disciples then and tribulation and man-child and all that stuff, but at that moment, that was just for me. And just to make sure, I looked on every single page of the New Testament up in the left-hand corner of my Bible just to see if there was a chance that I could have opened up to any other page and it land on something. There just wasn't. And I know I sound so silly. You know, but I wanted more than anything to believe, and I, like a baby who's trying to walk and wants more than anything to walk and sees everyone else doing it, and, you know, it keeps trying and keeps falling down. I was determined, you know, to have what the Lord wanted me to have, so, you know, I believed in it. I get real excited. Okay, so now I was going back and I was fellowshipping again, and things were wonderful. Things were really wonderful. My brothers and my sisters who are going out into the world, and other people who had knew that I was supposed to have the baby soon, including my husband and everyone where he had worked, you know, was expecting the baby to come, and everyone was expecting him. A lot of people would say, you know, are you sure you're pregnant? And, you know, what could I say to them? Like, they could see that I looked like I was pregnant, you know, but I didn't know who they were, and they were really giving our brothers and sisters a hard time. They were really giving them opportunities to have faith about something they couldn't see, and it was crazy to me. My brother at times had said to certain people, like, well, you know, the Lord can just do anything because all things are possible in Christ. And, you know, he was confident in it. I was pretty amazed and pretty impressed with the faith that this brought out of the people that I knew, and the amazement that it brought out of the people we didn't know, that only knew that I was pregnant. And other people, my brothers and my sisters that didn't believe, we were unbelievers in my family, kind of just looked at me, you know, with the eyebrow up, like, you know, okay, what kind of character is this, you know? And I just, you know, I tried my best to give it all to the Lord, and sometime during my 16th month, my mom was having a barbecue at her house, and she was inviting my brothers and sisters. Lots of them were not believers, and we were all going to go over to the house and eat, you know, and I was now by this time, I was walking in some really fabulous patient faith. Now, the only thing that I was impatient for was the baby actually being born. You know, I was sure that that was going to happen, and there wasn't a question anymore about that, but the when was becoming pretty trying on me, and I was exhausted with being pregnant. And,
Never heard of anything. 16 months, most of us 18.
I decided, you know, to talk to my husband about the problem that I was having. Like I said before, you know, I haven't talked to him much about this stuff. You know, and, I told him, you know, honey, I'm really having a problem with something. And I don't want to have this problem, so I feel like if I talk to you about it, you know, that, you know, maybe I'll feel better. So I told him that I was going to have to go to my mom's house, and I was going to have to see my sisters, who I hadn't seen since before I was due in October. And, you know, when I was still pregnant, you know, and I didn't know what I was going to say to them when they asked me, except for standing in faith. I mean, I would say it, but I kind of felt like, you know, either I wanted them to have peace about what was happening, and not have any kind of concern, or I wanted them to have ears to hear, and I didn't know if the Lord was going to give them ears to hear yet. So, you know, I'd ask the Lord, you know, to help me with it, and I felt like I should talk to my husband about it. So I talked to him, and I said, you know, I told him all this, you know, I just didn't know what to do. And so he said, well, you know what, honey? You could not possibly have been pregnant this long. And I was like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, Lord, you know, I know I don't talk to my husband about this, you know, but I know that he knows. You know, he felt the baby moving very often, you know, before this, but I know that between his mind and the people at work and the enemy, it had to have been working on him too to make some sense of it all. And I just said to him, you know what? I don't want you to just, you know, believe what I believe. You know, I'm not asking you to stop believing what you believe. You know, but I need you to understand, though, that one day, I am going to very consciously be standing before the Lord. And although I'm standing before Him now, one day, you know, He is going to ask an account of me. And it's going, the account is going to be either, did I believe him, or did I believe man? You know, and I told him, like, you know, he told me, he confirmed it to me, he showed me signs, he gave me understanding and wisdom, he taught me patience, and I am going to stand before him, and am standing before him now, and I want to believe him more than I want to believe what I can see, or hear, or feel, or touch. Or what I have known in the past. And just like before, I'm sure that the Lord put in my husband all of a sudden, just like dropped it right in him, this most amazing faith. And he said, well, then we can just tell him that we're saving for college by not having to buy diapers all the time. You know, I laughed with him and I was so happy, and I felt so much better, you know, and never again after that did he ever suggest or confess that it couldn't be true. And instead, he very often would poke at my belly and talk to my belly and, you know, tell the baby what it's going to name him, things like slow poke or pokey or for making us wait so long to meet him. And it was pretty wonderful. So, on that day, I got ready, and I got in my car, and I went to go, and I just, the song came into my heart, which I'll spare y'all from my singing, but I'll basically just tell you what it says. The song came into my heart about having faith to get out of the boat, and to go to the Lord, and to not listen to the waves and how they say that we'll not be able to do it. And it also talks about having the strength to stand before a giant and to not listen to what the giant has to say, you know, about how many times we've failed in our past and how we're not going to win this time either. Because the Lord's voice is the voice of truth, and he's the one that we want to listen to. And I was just singing away at this song, and the Lord showed me that the giant was my flesh, and that the waves were the people that were going to be there. And as I was seeing this, you know, and how they may say these things to me, I asked the Lord to give them peace. And sure enough, you know, I got there, and I'm big old fat and pregnant, and, you know, way overdue, and went over and sat down, and everyone was just excited to see me, you know, like, I think they were more excited to see my belly than they were excited to see me, honestly, you know, like, hands came out and all over my belly, and how are you doing, and, you know, and my one sister who is going to be called, but is not yet called. She asked me, so, you know, so how far along are you now? And I told her, you know, I'm 16 months, and she's like, oh, I feel sorry for you. Almost as if it didn't even ever cross her mind that that's not possible. And I was just in awe. I am watching the Lord work, and it was just like Jesus was in the midst of us all there, and no, everyone there couldn't help but just be content. It was pretty amazing. So, you know, they took turns, you know, dating me, watching my brother's move and stuff, and it was very nice, very peaceful. So then, I feel like I'm missing a whole bunch of stuff, and these are a lot of the highlights of it, but, you know, if I remember, maybe I'll add to the testimony that I had sent to Dave, and I'm going to be adding more to it, because I'm not telling you more than I put on it, because I thought it was too long in the first place, but... I did forget something. When just before October, in September, before we were expecting the baby to come, my husband told me what we were going to name the baby. And, you know, he wanted to name the baby that was a girl. He wanted to name her Mary. And but he didn't know what to name the boy yet, and I tried to pick out some names, but he just wasn't having any of the names that I picked out, and, you know, he's named all the other kids, and I kind of felt like it was his job to name him. This is his baby. So, he came to me one day, and he said, well, I thought of a name for the boy, but I don't want to tell you what it is. And I was what, like, you know, I was trying to not be all excited in front of him, you know, but just trying to be, you know, calm and stuff. I was like, okay, you know, I'll be here if you want to tell me, you know, and he was like, okay, well, I want to name him Joshua David. And I was like, what? And I tried not to be all overreacting and all excited and all like, oh my goodness, do you know what his name means? And, you know, and I had this like very quiet, all of a sudden feeling come over me. And the Lord had shared with me, you know, that he had laid this upon Pete. The strange thing is my son had a friend named Josh, and I would have never guessed that my husband would have picked that name. And not that he didn't like this boy, you know, but we had a big thing about not naming our kids after somebody who already had that particular name, you know, but he wanted a common name. It was kind of difficult. So anyway, he decided to name this, and the Lord had told me that it was part of the shadow of what was about to happen, but I didn't know really what was happening yet. The Lord didn't fill me in on any more of it, not any more of this particular thing until after the baby was born. But, you know, I tried not to let my mind wander, and I knew, you know, what Joshua was, what the name Joshua was, and I just named David was a person. And I knew how they related to, you know, the English form of Jesus or Yeshua. And I had been, you know, and one of the things was, one of the other things that the Lord had given me was, in the Bible, one of the other times that I'd given me was that, you know, it was the one where I think it's Elizabeth that says it, but I can't be sure, but says it to Mary about how what has been said will happen to her who believes. I'm not sure where that's at in the Bible either, but not very good at remembering where things are. I just know what it says. But so I was trying not to let my mind wander too much. I was thinking, you know, okay, that's not, I don't have no, you know, Messiah in me, because, you know, that's not scriptural. Okay, so, you know, stop having thoughts and just relax and just be excited, because it's a really cool name and it's really great. You know, and the Lord gave it to my husband, and my husband had the reservation of it, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, I keep going on. Well, anyway, this is so long, but... So, after the barbecue, not long after that, my contractions returned. And it was in July, around July 10th, my contractions came. Actually, it was like around July 9th, the night before the 10th. They came, and they were pretty strong, and everybody came over, and they were, you know, helping me through them and stuff. They were a minute and a half apart, and we're all excited, and I kind of felt that they were strong, although I hadn't had a baby in 10 years, so I apparently had forgotten that that wasn't strong at all, because I got pretty bad. But one of my sisters-in-law began to read to me, you know, to give me some comfort and stuff, you know, because we were there for about 9 hours, and I was about a minute and a half apart for about 9 hours, and she started to read to me this book that I had loaned to her a while ago that my mother-in-law gave me. It's called Kind Feet on High Places, and she opened up to the chapter that talks about the walk through the desert, and it was the part where the Lord, the Great Shepherd, had taken main character, whose name is Much Afraid, through the pyramids and had showed her the threshing floors where the wheat was ground up and turned into all different kinds of bread. And the Lord had showed her some specific wheat, some specific grain that was ground so very fine, and it was beaten, and it was bruised, and it was ground, and it was over and over and over again, and it was to make the most perfect bread. And it was a parable about us and how, you know, through our trials and our walks in faith and the tribulation we go through in order to stand in our Lord, you know, makes us into the best bread and the most wonderful bread, my loving bread. And as she was reading this to me, my contractions stopped. And one of the things in there that I remember that it said was that, you know, the grain is beaten, but it's not beaten forever. You know, it's not bruised forever. And we talked about it after my contractions stopped, because they stopped for a week. And over the phone, my sisters and I talked. My mother-in-law stayed with me for that whole week. You know, she wanted to make sure that everything was fine and that I was taken care of and stuff. And we all talked about it together about, you know, what the Lord was showing us all there. That, you know, my trial and the travail that I had begun to go through was almost exactly like what it was talking about in this book, how, you know, it's ground and it's beaten many, many times. Many times they stop doing one thing, they do another thing, and then they begin again, and they begin again. And many times through this pregnancy did it appear that I was in labor. And again, it appeared that I was in labor. And my brethren were very, very diligent to make sure that I was edified through the whole thing, built up in my faith about this, so that I didn't get discouraged. Because my contractions had stopped again. And I was thinking, Lord, you know, are you going to keep me pregnant forever? Am I going to be pregnant sexually forever until you come? You know, and I just was much more patient during that time than I had been through the rest of the time. Then a week later, my mother-in-law had to go home, and my mom came over to sit with me, and my sister-in-law came too, and we were all going to have cookout. We were on our way to Myers, and we went to Myers, and on our way back, the water broke, and I was in disbelief. I was literally in disbelief, and I was scared. I was excited. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, is this happening? Is this really happening? You know? And I mean, if you can imagine, daily, every day, thinking this could be the day for 9 months, more than 9 months, because I mean, a couple of months before that, but maybe I could go early, but every day this could be the day, or it's never going to happen, you know. And I was always someplace between those two things. And so then I paused, and my water broke, and I you know, walked up into the house and said to my husband, you know, your baby's about to be born. And then it began. And then my contractions came harder and harder, and pretty soon there was no time between them. And it seemed like one constant contraction. And my husband checked me after 7 hours. And he checked me many times, but after 7 hours, he checked me, and he couldn't feel my cervix anymore. And I knew, you know, that meant that I could begin pushing. And even though I wasn't having enough to push yet, I started pushing because I was anxious. I was tired, and I was anxious. I started pushing, and I was pushing for a very long time. And I was hearing things. I was being terribly attacked. I was hearing things like, you know, there's something wrong with your baby, and your baby can't breathe, and your baby is dying, or your baby is dead, and that's how come you're not being able to deliver him. I was pushing. I was pushing, I was pushing, and nothing was happening. I pushed for a full, some total of 7 hours. And at the 6th hour, my husband checked to see if the baby had descended anymore, and he saw my cervix again. And I knew from before, I told me, you know, that if you push before your cervix was dilated, that it would swell, that, you know, be able to push the baby out. But also, I wasn't able to talk in my pain. My pain was so incredibly intense that I couldn't use my stomach muscles or my voice or my mind to even put words together in order to tell people what was being said to me and that I specific things that I needed prayer for, and let alone, you know, any needs that I had. I couldn't. And my mom was very scared. My sisters were encouraging her. They were really building each other up. You know, she kept asking, how long are we going to let this go on? And they all knew that I didn't want to go to the hospital. You know, they knew that I wanted to trust in the Lord no matter what happened. And I said to my mother-in-law, you know, I was helping me to come in here, and that is my sister-in-law. And it took me quite a few contractions to say that. She came in, and I said to her, you know, he has felt my cervix again. Say something to me. And that's all I could get out. And it took me a while to say that to her. And she came beside me, and she said to me, okay, Lisa, you know, we are not walking by faith here. It doesn't matter what he felt. It doesn't matter what your skin. It doesn't matter what you're hearing. You know, you just do what you're supposed to do, and you just push the baby out because you know it's time now. The Lord showed you it's time now. You know, you just do it, and you don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. And just hearing her say these things to me encouraged me to continue pushing, because up to this point, my pushing was still very voluntary. Every time I had a contraction, I still had to make myself push. And she apparently prayed with me after that, but I didn't hear her. She told me afterward. I didn't hear. I wasn't aware of anybody. I wasn't aware of anything but the pain. A lot of times, I should also share with you that during the travail of it, I thought, I was during the beginning of the travail of it, I thought, who can endure? You know, if the tribulation is like a woman in travail, crying out to be delivered, you know, who can endure this? You know, and I saw a vision of saints who did not have their senses exercised to walk in the faith, and their belief was only in God, but it wasn't of God. They didn't believe Him. They believed in Him. They only believed a little bit that the churches had told them, and in their travail, they couldn't cry out to the Lord. I couldn't cry out with my voice. Literally, they couldn't cry out to the Lord and believe that He would deliver them from anything, that they couldn't find peace or comfort in what they would go through, like what our Lord went through. And I really did cry for this. And then it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse, and I didn't pray. Other people were praying for me. I didn't pray because I couldn't form any thoughts. I couldn't do anything but think, I can, you know, I'll just get through this one, or just help me get through this one, or, you know. So then, apparently she prayed for me, and then she had to leave. Then another sister of mine left, and it became really early in the morning, sometime around 5:30 or so. And, oh no, I'm sorry, 4:30. And, then, so I was just a pushing away, and then I felt the baby crying, and I immediately got into the tub, and my mother-in-law called my husband. My husband came in, and he said, you need to push, and the head will be delivered. And I pushed, and then I pushed again, and the head was delivered, and then I pushed, and the body was delivered, and then Dr. Shua David was born at 5:20. He was born at 5:20 on July 17th, year 2005, and he wasn't breathing at first. He came out, and my mother's and my mother's were a little bit panicked, a little bit scared, but my husband had this look of just complete peace on him, and as I turned to look at him before they'd even cut the cord, I said to him, is he breathing? And he said, nope, not yet. You know, just very calmly and very patiently. And my mother asked my sister-in-law what to do, and my sister-in-law said, just tell the baby to breathe in the name of Jesus. And my mother yelled into the bathroom, tell the baby to breathe in the name of Jesus. And my mother-in-law, you know, yelled at her grandson and said, Josh, you will breathe in Jesus' name. And he breathed. And he cried, and they got the cord clipped, and then that was the story. But after that happened, then the Lord began to show me some stuff. Hold on a second. I gotta get it up for you here so that I can hear to you without having to try to think. I was laying in bed. And the Lord began showing me things about Joshua and the day that he was born and the time that he was born and all different kinds of stuff. Here it is. This is what he showed me. First of all, he showed me that he was born in the seventh month. He was born on the 17th day. And he was born in 2005, which when you add 5 plus 2 together, you get 7. In the house that night was me and my husband and my 2 moms and my 2 children, which are 6 people. And he was the 7th person in that house tonight, in the house that night. He was born at 5:20, which 5 plus 2 is 7. His name is Joshua David Miller, which is 17 letters. He weighed 6 pounds, 8 ounces, which 6 plus 8 is 14, which is a dividend of 7. And he measured 21 inches, which 21 is a dividend of 7. And he showed me also that between the time that my water broke and the time that he was born was 14 hours, which is also fitted in 7. My travail was for 14 hours. I was pregnant with him for 36 weeks and 3 days, which equals out to, if you add 7 and 6 and 3 together, you get 16, and 1 plus 6 is 7. I was pregnant from January 8, 2004 to July 17, 2005, which comes out to exactly 555 days. And the number 5 in Gematria is grace. It means grace. So he showed me this over about a week period as I just out of nowhere just started seeing these things in my mind and I started writing them down and I started realizing that, you know, the Lord was trying to show me, you know, that Of all the things that he was trying to teach me, that to rest in him, which 7 means is the number of rest in the Bible, that to rest in him is what he was trying to show me in my patience that he gave me, in my trust of him, was I able to rest. And then after Joshua was born, me and him went and took a bath, and finally we both rested. And I am actually positive this is not the end of my testimony, since because of this and everybody else that knew about it, it has edified church after church after church of people who have heard and literally did not think I was pregnant and could not believe that a baby was actually born. They didn't actually see, but they had only heard, you know, that I was pregnant, I was overdue, you know, things like that. So, if anybody has any questions now after my testimony, I'd be happy to answer any of them. I'm thankful to the Lord, you know, for this testimony, and I hope that in the future that this will edify all of the saints and those who need it, you know, in the days to come and stuff, because it really is very good testimony as to how saying the Lord can and is, you know, the best way to learn how to rest and to trust Him. So, praise God, and thank you, David, for inviting me to share this here. And if you guys have any questions, I'll open the mic up so that you guys can ask.